Welcome to another edition of Alumni Spotlight. I'm joined today by former Packers offensive lineman Mike Flanagan. Mike, welcome back to Green Bay.
It's nice to be back. Thank you.
Now, Mike, you were drafted in the third round in 1996, but you took a long, long road to a starting job, and that long road started with a horrible leg injury during the preseason of your rookie year. Just tell us what it took to overcome that.
Basically, just hard work. The guys here with Flea, my trainer, Pat McKenzie, Pepper, all those guys, they pushed me through it. We had everything from infections to multiple surgeries to nerve complications, had it all. And they just, kind of kept me going, kept me grinding through it. And eventually, I fortunately just got lucky enough to get on the field, so I still had some skills.
Just with everything you'd been through, what was it like to finally be playing in the NFL?
I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. It just seemed like every hurdle that came up, there was an answer for it, and we had it fixed, but nothing was ever smooth. And it was just, it was a baby steps. I got to enjoy and cherish every moment and realize how special it really was, because I felt like I was on the brink, teetering. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Three, 4 years. And yeah. So I'd never taken anything for granted. Every little thing that maybe some guys did take for granted, I didn't, because I know it's not normal. And, it probably made me relish it more, at least I feel, more than most.
Now, your sixth season, 2001, you became a full-time starter at center, and you go the entire year without a holding penalty. So how does somebody manage that?
That means I just didn't get caught. our saying is, if you're not holding, you're not trying. So I think one of the ref umpires that is an NFL guy, he would come out to UCLA every day. He was based out of LA, and he would tell me what he was looking for, what he was saying. Flan this, I'm going to call this, if you show this. So I literally was taught by an NFL umpire how to hold. And, you're going to get caught eventually, just the law of averages. A guy could just throw, an ump could throw a flag in the air and just pick one of five guys, you'd probably be right.
Now then, in 2002, you moved from center out to left tackle when Chad Clifton took that infamous hit from Warren Sapp. So how does a center move out to left tackle and all of a sudden become a blindside protector? How'd you manage that?
That's why it was. it was funny. It goes back to training camp. I remember Beck, our O-line coach, he said, "Hey, Flan, we're in one-on-ones. Just go out there and take a couple snaps. Take a couple snaps where? It's left tackle. What for? So you're our emergency guy." I'm like, "Get out of here." We thought it was a joke. And then it continued on. Like every once in a while, they'd say, "Hey, go out there and do this." I think part of it is just, as a center, you have to conceptually understand the game more so than just, I've got to block this guy, because you've got to direct guys. And it's not, I don't want to make it overly complicated, but it made it easier for me to understand what everybody else was doing. So moving me out two spots, conceptually, I know what you're supposed to do, but technique-wise, and the better athlete you are, the more they move you out, and they get worse as they go in, because they're bigger, that kind of stuff. So, and Cliffy being the talent that he is, it was, there's no way I was going to fill those shoes. It was just, plug the dam until we can get through. I got one toe over here and one finger over here.
Now then, the following year, 2003, you made the Pro Bowl, and that was the year the Packers had an offensive line that many consider the best offensive line since the Lombardi years. So tell us about that group and what made you guys so good.
There's five guys there with some talent, some special talent. There's no question. We wouldn't be in the league as long as we were, but it was the ability that, it was almost our immaturity, but across the board, that we all related to things at like a different level. We were all so stupid and silly about things. There wasn't more than about 2 or 3 minutes before somebody wasn't making fun of the other. Whether it be dogs, cats, the way you dress, your body fat, your hair, it didn't matter. There was nothing that wouldn't be touched by it. But there was a mutual respect, and the same that we knew each other so well. We hung out, we're always playing dominoes or cards or backgammon or, just whatever it was. But we felt like we were always together. It was like a group of brothers. It got to the point, I could turn, walk the huddle, got it, yes. And that's all guys, everybody knew what they were doing. Part of that's because of their understanding of the game and their intelligence. But a lot of it was just the ability for us just to be together.
You and Frank Winters were the two centers who snapped for Brett Favre for the majority of his career here. If you can narrow it down to one, do you have a favorite Favre story?
I can't remember. It was a Chicago game. I can't remember the year, but he did some. It was one of those where, you know, him scrambling things, and we got. He ended up started in the pocket, rolled out to his left, and then you see guys coming. He does a couple dance, and guys are coming over, following him around, and somehow he makes this throw that's like a bullet. It whips by my ear. I hear it, but I don't see it, and then it, you know. And I'm like, and they say, you know, catch Donald Driver for 34 yards or whatever it was. And I just get up, I look at him like, how the hell did you do that? He goes, I'll tell you later, kid. Let's go. You know, it was just the how that, you know, that's and when it's utter chaos, that's when he's at his best.
Is there one game that you remember most from your time as a player?
Yeah, this was my claim to fame. So we're it's once again Chicago. We're here. And it's the end of the half. You know, we're just doing the – Favre's going to throw one up as on purpose this time. He's not just doing it but he wings it up there. Interception. Oh, great. So now I got to go chase it down. You know, the fat guys, we're, you know, 50 yards away. We usually never get there. Usually the guy either falls down, takes a knee, runs out of bounds, or somebody tackles him. But, no, he keeps coming and coming. Like, he's there at the 40 now. And so now we know what we got to go make. So he fumbles. Somebody hits some tackles and fumbles. And I catch the ball on like a one bounce. And I hear, pitch it. And I know, for 10 years, the guy's been right behind me yelling things. I know it's him. He won't admit it, but I know it was. So I go like this, and I pitch it right to the Bear guy. Bear goes the other way. Javon Walker hawks him down from 80 yards back at the 2-yard line at halftime. As we're walking off the field, I'm going, oh, thank God. Sherm walks up to me and goes, if you ever touch the ball again, I'm going to kill you. And just kept going. I'm like, all right, so that was the new rule. You cannot touch the ball under any circumstances unless you're snapping. I mean, it'd be funny in practice. You'd see a ball drop, and I'd step back.